Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey guys, before we start the episode, I just want to thank all the people who support me on Patreon. Thank you so much, guys. You guys get that bonus podcast every Friday. And also the upper tier people get some exclusive videos, and you know, $5 or more or month will get you a Talking Metal t-shirt. So definitely support us on Patreon. We could really use this support. And so many great people there, like Steven Saylor, Steven Rodriguez, Steve Hoker, plain old Steven, Sam Soupy, Ron Keel, Richard Langridge, Patrick Schwartzman, David S. Gray, Mike Jones, Michael Street, Metal Dan, Matt Carroll, Leo from Alaska, Kenny McCrimmon, John Bavari, Johan Enderstrom, Joe Ryan, Sean Francois Blas, Jay Vaninsky, Jason Seth, James Bennett, Gregory, Jerry from Long Island, Fred Roots, Drake, Dan Gurwan, Brad Dahl, Anthony Mackey, Adam Marr, and that's it, actually. So thanks, guys. And I wanted to mention Brad Dahl, by the way, has Yarg Radio. It's a great streaming service. If you're looking for great music, check Brad's Yarg Metal Radio out. I'll send it out on Twitter. Today's podcast was originally done as a Talking Metal Facebook live stream, and it is co-hosted by John Ostrowski, aka Astronomy. So here we go. Today's guest is Phil Schaus from Accept, Ace Frehley's band, and Gene Simmons' band.
Mark Striegel, John Astronomy, the Talking Metal Podcast, coming to you from the Silver Spacecraft. I'm Bud Friendly, and now your hosts, Mark and John.
Hey, Phil, I can hear you.
And John.
You got Phil Schaus on the line here.
Yeah.
Hey, yo, how's everybody doing?
Good, good, Phil. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Mark Striegel along with John Astronomy, and we are here doing our second edition of Facebook Live, as John said, and our first time with a guest. So bear with us, everyone. There could be some technical difficulties. Hopefully not. And let's start it off with a big Talking Metal toast. John, Philip, what are you drinking, Philip?
This is actually is from the Athletic Brewing Company in Connecticut. They make non-alcoholic craft beers. So this is a Run Wild IPA. It's delicious. So cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers, guys.
John, how about you?
Back to the Bud Light.
Okay.
Keeping it simple.
A man after Ryan Cook's heart.
Cool. Well, we're going to start things off talking to Philip. You got a lot of stuff going on, Philip. So we want to learn about everything you're up to. And let's start off talking about the first time you two met, John and Philip. How did you guys meet?
It was New York. It was with Ace, obviously. And it was, the St. Paul show?
Yes, St. Paul, Minnesota. Yes, that's where I met you.
Yep. So that was the show that Gene played, Gene Simmons Band. I was in that too. And Cheap Trick was there. Don Felder was there. Flip was there. It was a big, big, big day. And that was the day where Ace is going to come sit in with Gene on four or five songs.
Yep.
And so so we met PJ for the first time and John. So,
yeah, that was a great, great event. And that was for a charity that Gene was part of. It was a great 2 days. We had a blast.
Yeah, that was, I mean, it was like half a kiss and Cheap Trick on the bill. It was just
right.
Too much.
It was amazing. And it was in a small baseball stadium, Mark. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I ever told you that. It was really cool.
Yeah. That's still one of the greatest days of my life I've ever spent. Just the whole experience, all day sound check and everybody's walking around.
Yeah, Phil, I knew that all of you guys were really having a great day for sure. I could tell. You guys were cool. And I took photos of you and Ace, you know, backstage, and it was amazing. I swear to God, I have a great photo, and I'm going to find this and I'm going to post it. When we talk about a little thing, Phil, what do they call it? A sidebar. When we talk about something, we always tell people we'll post it in the podcast show notes. Since this is a live Facebook thing, I'm going to post this live on Facebook a little later. But I have some photos of you playing on stage, looking back at me, and I could tell that even when you were on stage with Ace and Gene at the same time, you were really having a great time.
Yeah, I've seen some shots of other friends. Rick's from Cheap Tricks Tech, Larry, he passed on, so rest in peace, Larry. But so he was back there. I knew Larry too. He was a friend of mine. He was taking pictures from behind too, and I was mugging at him like thumbs up and stuff. And yeah, it was the whole event was just great. And then the private event the next night was cool.
Right.
So that was our first contact with Ace really ever. Was that show? So
and then what was really cool, guys, is that when Ace and Gene were going to go to Australia, the idea came up where Ace, instead of using the band that he normally was using, he would have you guys back him up. And that led, Ace had such a great time with you guys, that led into you becoming Ace's band.
Yeah, it was logistics only was the reason behind it. Because it's like, well, I'm going to go to Australia and Japan. Your guys know all my stuff.
Right.
You know, and it was money and just logistics, and it turned into what it turned into. So yeah,
it was great. And what Phil is referring to, it wasn't anything against all the great guys that Ace had playing with his band. Yeah. It was totally. Just a logistical thing, and it made sense. And you guys knew all this stuff, and you guys became great friends, and it turned into what it is now. And everybody's doing great. Everybody else is out there doing great. So the other guys that play with Ace, they're all fine too. And everybody's friends, and it's all cool.
So Philip, obviously Ace's band, Gene's band, we want to talk to you about Accept in a bit, but let's first talk about some of the other musicians you've played with through the years. And if you could kind of give us the, you know, 2-3 minute bio kind of synopsis.
Yeah, sure. So I moved to Nashville in 2004. So 16 years, which is unbelievable. It's gone by like that. But at the same time, feels like another lifetime. It's so strange. So when I moved up here, I just wanted to work. And luckily, when I moved up here around the time, that's when country singers were looking for more of a gunslinger, Southern rock type, Skinner type guitar player, which I can totally do. You know, I grew up in Alabama, and I love all that stuff and play it well. So I started working in country and getting gigs like with more rocking guys like that. Never had to play a guitar up here with a hat on. Always played, you know, Gibsons and stuff and at my knees, and always kind of did rock. So I played with David Lee Murphy first, and then Chris Cagle. And then next was my longest gig with Rodney Atkins. That was for almost 6 years, and that took us up to like 2016. But in between there, I was always looking for other things as well. You know, I'd get home and do this show. Sure. I started the Van Halen tribute band. So that thing was
good. Oh, yeah. I've seen some of your videos, man.
Yeah. So I played Eddie in it's called the Mighty Dan Halen.
Right.
And we were it was a lot of fun. Really good band too. We did a really good job. So I was doing that, and I was already trying to like get my own thing going in Nashville with my own name, doing more rock stuff like I like to do. And also paying the bills, you know, playing with whoever, you know, so that was always kind of a thing. I was always doing that, coming home, getting some kind of show happening and going back out and doing that. We started the Rock and Roll Residency. Me and Jeremy Asbrock did that in 2014. And that was a 5-year long weekly show of all the kind of the best 60s, 70s, and a little bit of 80s rock. And that's, I don't know, it created gigs, it created opportunities for us. Didn't necessarily create a gig for us, but it, we ended up in pretty good places, I'll put it that way.
Yeah, and Phil, I want to ask you, could you tell the listeners or the viewers, we're used to saying listeners, the viewers, who, you guys, basically the Rock and Roll Residency, you guys played was it weekly event in Nashville?
It was every Tuesday that we could. So we barely missed a Tuesday for about 3 years or 4 years. We were pretty regular.
And you guys played like, you know, rock and roll, heavy metal covers. Is that what you did?
Yeah, we didn't do any original stuff. I'll get to that later. Okay. But we used all covers. We started it with Chuck Garrick from Alice Cooper's band and our buddy David Parks on drums. And then they had to split for touring duties with their groups. And so we got Jared Pope on drums, who's now with Tom Kiefer.
Right, right. Was Jared also, I'll come back to that.
He was in Whiskey Falls with Damon Johnson and—
Oh yeah, that's what I was gonna say, Damon Johnson. I never saw him play with you, know, you guys. Damon,
because he's from Alabama too, right?
I just did a gig with Damon about a month ago.
Oh, very cool. Yeah, and that's where I met Jared, with Damon.
We got Jared in there through Chuck. Thank God, man. Jared is like one of my favorite drummer in town now. He's amazing. And then my buddy Judd Fuller on bass, who was my Rodney Atkins bandmate. And Judd has got a long list of stuff. He's a Northeast guy, like you guys. Peter Wolf, been with Peter Wolf for a while. Tons of stuff. So that was the core four. Eric Brittingham came in for a while and played with us for Cinderella on bass. But yeah, I kind of raised our profile in Nashville. And we ended up in some pretty good places. It didn't really have anything to do with the Gene gig at all. But it just kind of put us on the map, I guess, in Nashville.
Now, could you tell everybody, how did it come about that you guys became Gene's band?
Ryan Cook. Wow. We knew Ryan Cook, and that's how it happened. So Ryan is on one of the Kiss cruises and has lunch with Gene, and Gene asks Ryan to put together a band for him, because Ryan and Jeremy had a group called Big Rock Show that did what, like the Residency, but they were around before, but they did more 80s stuff.
Okay.
Like Joe V, Scorpions, that autograph, that kind of thing. And so they did all the Kiss cruises, so Gene knew that Ryan knew kind of, you know, pick up rock players for hire that knew a lot of stuff and could learn quickly and stuff. So he asked Ryan to put together the band. It was only supposed to be 5 shows in 2017, I guess. And Ryan's like, yeah, I got the guys right now. So cool. That's how Gene knew nothing of us, knew nothing of the Residency or anything that we did before. He just like, he trusted Ryan, said, if you say they're good, they're good. So
very good. Yeah. I love it.
Right on. So obviously right now we're all stuck at home for the time being. And it's really a great time for any musicians out there to take guitar lessons. And I've been thinking about doing it, because there's a lot of people like yourself who are currently also stuck at home. And
a lot of time.
So if a viewer out there or a listener of Talking Metal Podcast was interested in taking lessons from you, how would they go about that, Philip?
You can, if I'm tagged on Facebook here, just go to my Facebook thing and direct message me. I do check those occasionally. So direct message me on there. And on Instagram, I'm V with 2 E's, T-H-E-E, the Philip Schaus. Philip has 1 L in it too. So the Philip Schaus on Instagram. You can put it in the DMs there, as the kids say. And I'll get back to you. So yeah, I've been playing a hell of a lot of guitar all for these past 2 weeks, practicing all kinds of things I've been wanting to practice. And so, yeah, actually I'm doing okay with this whole thing. I'm all right.
Phil, that sounds great. So guys, if you want lessons from a guy that played with Gene Simmons, Ace Frehley, Accept, Lucifer, tons of other groups, plus you name it, he's played with it during the Rock and Roll Residency. Direct message Phil, and he will give you lessons probably online, just like this, right?
We do Zoom, I do Skype. So yeah, just like this.
Whatever you got, Phil will make it work.
And Phil, what do you teach in lessons? You teach songs, you teach in theory, a little bit of everything?
I kind of let the student dictate a little bit, because I don't want to kind of like force feed somebody what is like, no, you're going to learn this right now. That's not very fun for the person learning. So I like to do it through songs, because it's always best if you can learn through something that you can actually like, that you kind of might know already, and go and then put it together. Oh, they're doing that. And then you've already learned the technique easier, or the concept easier. But it depends. Some stuff you can't, some stuff you just have to do scales. You know, just practicing picking patterns, and it's boring. Metronomes are, you know, your best friend and your worst enemy at the same time, but have to do it. But I kind of let the student dictate it. I'm not running a, you know, with an iron fist or anything. If you know me, you know, I'm not like that anyway with anything.
Right on. You posted a hilarious video. I was cracking up where you're it's kind of like an exercise video, but two balls to the wall. And you got the V out there. That's a really funny. That's on what? Was that on Instagram or Facebook?
It's on both. And it's on my page and the Accept page. So yeah. they shared it too. And I got the idea when I was doing my own workout over here. And that's actually the move that we do.
Right.
Like during Balls of the Wall. Me and Wolf go up, and that's the Balls of the Wall move. It's like, it'd be funny if I did that like an aerobics instructor.
Right. Yeah.
and showed the actual move. And a couple assholes commented, that's nothing like the real thing. It's like, I'm in the fucking band, dude. Wolf taught it to me. Tell it to Wolf.
Right.
That's good.
Let's talk about that. How did you accept, less than a year you've been in with Accept at this point? Or
As a member, I go back. My history with them goes back to 2017. I did a section of their Wacken show. They headlined Wacken one night. And it was when they had the 80-piece orchestra behind them. And so a little segment of that was Wolf's Headbanger Symphony. He put out a record that was classical music arranged for metal band and orchestra. So guitar solos, you know, he kind of made the lead guitar a solo instrument in classical. So it isn't like a violin or a flute or something like that, or it's like a guitar. So I played in that, and then in 2019, last year, in the spring, I got called to do that tour, because they were doing a symphonic terror tour all around Europe and Eastern Europe, and they were going to use different orchestras in each city. So half of the set was classical, half of the set was Accept. So that was my first time playing actual Accept songs. And that was about 6 weeks in different segments.
Right.
And at the end of the second segment, everything went so well. I got along with everybody, and Wolf and I played together a lot. We had a good rapport on and off stage. And he asked me if I would want to join and be a member. And I was like, I was hoping you were going to ask me to join. I was going to miss you guys a lot. So yeah, so I got announced like, I think September of last year. So yeah.
That's awesome. So cool.
John and I once jammed with Mark. Do you remember that, John?
Yeah, it was great. Oh, cool. We were at the Gibson showroom in New York.
No, it was at Dingbats.
It was at Dingbats. Oh, okay.
I've heard of that place.
Right. For some reason, I was thinking that Mark did a talking metal jam with it, but it was at Dingbats with screaming metal, right?
Yeah.
Mark?
Yeah. Okay, yeah, cool. That's correct. That's awesome. And I remember Mark came and we were like, Mark, what can we get you at the show? He was just like, 6 Bud Lights. That's all he wanted.
Yeah. It's like if you ask Don Jameson what he wants to drink, he'll tell you 6 Miller Lights.
Yeah.
You know what, Mark? Tell the story real quick. You were, was it when we were doing Talking Metal with Zakk Wylde, or was it when you were doing something with maybe VH1 where, didn't he say he wants like something like 32 or like 68 beers or something crazy like that?
Oh, Zakk?
Yeah.
Yeah, I may have been.
The thing was, like, most people say, give me six of this or give me six of that. Or,
right.
I swear to God, I think Zach said something like, I'll have, like, you know, like 49, you know, non-alcoholic, you know,
O'Doul's or something.
O'Doul's, like that. Yeah. I think
that was it when Zach was on the Fuse show with us.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Man. But so, Philip, as far as Accept goes, what obviously, I know you guys are booked at M3, fingers crossed that's happening.
Yeah.
A festival that John and I both love. I go every year. It was pushed back to September, so we hope Accept will be there with everyone else. Oh. We hope that can happen this year. But what else is going on with Accept at this point? Are you working on music? Are you talking about 2021 already?
Yeah, well, I'm supposed to be in Japan right now with Accept, actually.
Right.
Wow.
We were doing two shows in a row outside of Tokyo. New music. As far as show-wise, it's hard to talk about stuff because there's no clue of what's really happening. You know, it feels like we're living by the hour. Everything changes. So they'll have something set, and then some news will come in that changes the whole deal for everyone. So it's kind of, as far as touring, it's kind of just not a standstill. Just like nobody can really add anything to the conversation. But yeah, new music's going to be, is being worked on and recorded and coming out at some point. So yeah, I talked to Wolf, about once a week, just talked to Mark. Me and Mark and Christopher did a Zoom meeting a couple nights ago, so they're doing well. And Mark's wife Sherry is on the as a nurse, so she's the father of everything. So she's in Jersey, so she's she's working her ass off, and we thank her for it. So, but they're doing well.
Yeah, thank her. Yeah,
it's good, and it's cool, you know, doing things like this. And like, I've been doing Zoom meetings with Ryan and Jeremy and hanging out, and it's just like cool. These things can really come in handy in times like this. So it's, you know, it's not as bad as it could be, you know?
Right. And I think that after this is over, I think we're going to have to keep these Zoom meetings going because they're fun. They're fun.
I'm kind of getting the hang of it and I'm kind of getting used to it. So yeah, it is a cool thing.
Phil, now down where you are in near Nashville or slightly north of Nashville,
yeah.
Do you venture out at all to the, for example, to the store or, you know, where do you go? Or do you just stay in?
Man, that's the only place I go is groceries.
Right.
And that maybe to get gas, but I'm not using any gas and I'm not driving anywhere. But
right.
Yeah, I may get out. And I may get out just to drive around.
Yeah.
Get out of the house. But I'll go get groceries and come back and that's about it. So yeah, I'm pretty much staying in.
Yep. Yeah. So, same thing here. I go to the grocery store. Now, I'm a little bit spoiled because near me, I have a Target. And I have a BJ's Wholesale Club, both of which are half grocery store, and they also sell other things. So I can go to those stores and, for example, look at computer monitors or, you know, you're not really supposed to be doing that, but I can kind of browse around as if I was shopping. But you got to wear a mask and gloves. Yeah. And
So you can walk out of there spending way more money than just buying groceries.
Correct. I've spent, you know what? There's this game that there's a store called Acme. Now, listen to this. I've been going to multiple grocery stores, Acme, ShopRite, BJ's, and Target. So four different grocery stores.
Yeah.
Acme, and this is just going to give you an example of where my brain is at this point. Acme, it gives out for every $10 you spend, you get this ticket that you play this game with. I got 70 tickets, which means I must have spent $700 in Acme. So how crazy is that?
You win.
Just since this thing. And that's only one of four grocery stores I'm going. So I have everything. If you come here, I can make you whatever you want.
So Philip, obviously, we're all big KISS fans, and I'm a massive Accept fan, too. So I wanted to ask you, Gene Simmons, such an iconic figure, any behind-the-scenes personal moments you've had with Gene where you just kind of had said, wow, that was really cool? Are there anything, I mean, and I know some of maybe you can't share, don't want to share, but is there anything you could share with us fans?
I'm trying to narrow it down. Every day was special with him because he was so fucking cool. Like, he was just, he was the best. And if you ask any of the guy, other guys are going to answer the same way. He was the most fun, cool hang, this period. Just, we were always with him. You know, we didn't just see him on stage. Like, we traveled together. We ate breakfast together at the hotel. We had dinner. We had catering at the venue together. We sat together after the show when he'd hold court and talk to anybody who would be willing to stay around and listen to him talk. And we'd ride in the car back to the hotel together. And sometimes if we were at the bar, he wouldn't drink, but he'd hang out at the bar and talk with us and our friends. That happened on numerous occasions. He was great.
That's really amazing, because a lot of people wouldn't, you know, the average person who is a Kiss fan who knows a little bit about him might not think that Gene would be cool to hang at a bar with you guys, or to even, you know, spend basically every second and travel around. Some people might think that, you know, he'd just show up at the time to play and that's the only time you'd see him. So it's so cool to hear that Gene was doing all that.
He was with us all the time. I know a few times when we flew commercial, and so we'd get off the plane and there would be a greeter there from the airport that would help get him to either the lounge or, you know, the next flight, whatever. So we'd be walking around and he'd go, where are we going? It's like, well, Mr. Simmons, we're going into this business lounge, and he'd go, can the guys get in? And she'd go, no, only Mr. You, Mr. Simmons. He goes, I'm not going. He goes,
wow.
Get my guys in. I'm not going to go in. And we're like going, it's okay. You know, it's okay. You're going to get killed if you stay out here with us.
Right, he's like, right.
And I heard it one time. He said, let me get my asshole t-shirt on. And then, but no, he never would. One wow. time it happened that we couldn't get in, and he went with us to a burger place.
That is so cool. That is a great, great story. That really is amazing.
Sat there and messed with the wait staff and took pictures. And, you know, he enjoys being Gene Simmons. I never heard the guy complain one time.
Wow.
And he's very grateful. And those are just the best memories. Whenever you see footage of us during those shows, we're all grinning from ear to ear. And it stayed that way off. Like, it was just that fun all the time. I think about that a lot. It's like, man, like a year and a half or 2 years, whatever. Just what an amazing experience and time. Just so many good memories. I just can't really pick one out.
It's right. I hear you. No, I love hearing the stories about him not going into the VIP lounge and hanging with you guys. It's amazing. And as a bass player, you know, I've heard Gene. People have asked him, you know, about his playing, and he always kind of downplays it, like that he's, you know, he's just a rock bass player. But to me, especially growing up with hard rock and heavy metal, where a lot of times the bassist is just strumming the, you know, the A opened A, he really had a unique sound that I always draw the line maybe back to McCartney, you know, like that walking bass line. And as a musician, can you talk a little bit about his style of playing bass? Because it is kind of unique. Do you agree?
It's very unique, and I do draw it to McCartney. Like, as far as a locking in with the drums, like, you know, the way they describe Peter's playing, it was erratic, and he changed things. So you couldn't really lock in with the kick drum with bass. So he was kind of on his own. And so, yeah, it is McCartney. And just like you said, Mark, I think that he did it in front of us. He would always downplay his influence and the musical influence of Kiss. Always. He never would include Kiss in the conversation of Zeppelin, Bad Company, that kind of thing. He would never, you know, if we would talk about a cool chord progression in Ladies Room or something, he'd go, Bad Company did it first. He would never, ever put
wow.
in that. He would always defer to the British guys. But he always talked about it, but yeah, and standing in front of one of his amps.
Oh yeah, yeah. I never have had the opportunity to be right there on stage hearing him play out of the amp. That's amazing.
I mean, because, you know, I kind of was his tech, I guess. You know, I'd kind of get his stuff together. We used backline and all this stuff was there. So I just kind of I kind of learned what he liked. I could get it close. But then, you know, when I'm doing a sound check and then he walks up and plays and he's not hitting it hard. I learned a lot by watching him play bass. He has a very, very light touch, but it's just somehow so powerful.
Wow. That's amazing.
Because it's like, he's not hitting it hard. He's just, he's very easy with his style and with his playing. And he's not wrestling it at all. He's very, he's playing the, he's not working the bass. He's playing the bass. And yeah, I just learned a lot by watching him. Wow. Yeah, he's
that is cool. That is so cool.
And he, like you were saying too, Mark, like listening to his parts versus like, you know, other late 70s, 80s bands. And it's like, he's always moving around, you know, always walking around and always doing McCartney style stuff. He's a big soul music fan too. So he kind of have like the, you know, the R&B soul, 60s R&B walking Jamerson kind of thing. Also, you know, that influence with McCartney, I think, in his playing. So.
Yeah. It's funny because, you know, in the back in like the 80s, when people would talk about heavy metal, they would say, oh, well, it really came from Zeppelin and you know, Deep Purple. And sometimes they'd mention Sabbath in there. But as time has gone by, there's two bands to me that really seem to have much more influence than everybody else. And that's Black Sabbath and Kiss. They really seem to be the two bands that are at this point the godfathers of loud music in general, you know?
Yeah, it's funny because it took decades to really catch up to how awesome they were. They're my number two favorite band. Beatles is number one. Black Sabbath is my second favorite band. So it kind of took them, people, how awesome they were, because like, they were kind of the underground band to Led Zeppelin. You know, always, I was in high school and early college, so I was like, Sabbath fans are always that, but now it's fucking Sabbath is, I made a dog shirt out of it,
I love it. Okay, talking about shirts, this is that is an amazing shirt, and
crosses, if you can see the little dog wearing crosses.
That is an amazing shirt.
And you made that shirt?
It's my company, Mutt Merch.
I wanted to talk about. Phil, tell us about Mutt Merch.
So it's cute shirts like this for people and dogs. We got Black Labyrinth, we got the Beagles, we got Bones and Noses, we got Grateful Dane, Neuterhead.
Yes, I love Grateful Dane.
Sergeant Pupper's Lonely Mutt's Pup Band. We've got Waggy Nelson. We got a bunch of stuff. So shirts for you and your dog at muttmerch.com.
Are you a dog guy, Phil? Do you have a dog?
I don't have any anymore. Me and my wife had three, but then divorced. And with my lifestyle and my way of life, it's just like I couldn't take three, and I wasn't going to take one and split up the pack. They were all best buds. So
right.
It's just really tough coming and going all the time.
Right. Yeah.
It's just weird, but I do love dogs. I can talk to them very well.
Here's the thing, talking metal people. Go to muttmerch.com.
Yep.
MUTTMERCH.com. And I am going to go on and I'm going to buy a shirt. And Mark, I think we, Talking Metal, will take up a collection and we will get Pearl a Mutt Merch shirt.
Oh, yeah. I got a Golden Retriever somewhere.
Oh, nice. I got to get a Goldie shirt. I got to think of a good one for Golden Retrievers.
Yeah. Well, they're such a popular dog. What was I going to say? I just want a little note to the listeners of this on the Talking Metal podcast. We are doing this live on a Facebook video, and you can actually watch the video version of this on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/talkingmetal. We'll have it posted there, and everything that we're talking about, the websites and stuff, will be listed in today's show notes on talkingmetal.com. So, so definitely check that out.
You guys have it together.
What's that?
You guys have your shit together. I love it.
We try.
We've got a lot of different stuff going. Yeah. Now, this is not going out live right now on YouTube, but we will later repurpose this video and put it on our YouTube channel and on the Talking Metal podcast.
Absolutely. Now, we were talking about Gene, and obviously Ace, another amazing guitar player, musician, but I wanted to talk about Wolf, because to me, I was such a big, and still am to this day. I mean, I go see Accept when they come through. I go see, you know, UDO when they come through, and Dirk Schneider. It was just such a a big band for me when I was in my impressionable teenage years. And Wolf, to me, like Shanker, had this just, I don't know if it's a German thing or whatever, but that tone that he had, and I still has to this day, is there's something just magical about it. And, you know, to this day, I can put on the Balls to the Wall record or Metal Heart or Russian Roulette. And it's just, it's that tone. I know right away that's Wolf Hoffman. Where does it come from? Is that his personality coming through the fingers, or is it something he dials in on the knobs?
It's in the fingers, man. Cause I mean, all the gears changed over the years, and you know, it's different from back then, and it still sounds like Wolf. Like every time he plays Balls to the Wall, like he plays it by himself, you know, like that. It sounds just like the song. It sounds like Wolf. It's in the fingers, and I can't explain it, because I mean, I can play somebody else's rig and sound like me. You know, it's like it's the same thing. But yeah, right. Man, it's just he's just got that thing.
Yeah,
you know. It's the only way to like describe it. He's got that thing.
Yeah. Well, so glad he's still out there doing it and that you're working with him. And we definitely, again, fingers crossed for M3, because I'm really, really just hoping that that happens. And
that
I know they pushed
it back. My first time going to that or playing it. So I really hope it happens. I wanted to do it. All my friends from Monsters of Rock crews are there, either playing it or in the audience. So it's like I've already got a lot of people there already that I know.
And who'd you play there with, Phil?
Oh, M3, never.
Oh, you never play. Okay, you were saying this will be your first time playing. I'm sorry, misunderstood.
Yeah, totally, first time.
Phil, I wondered, and I brought this up to Mark earlier today, and he is a big fan of Lucifer. Now, tell us about the time that you went on tour with those guys and Gail.
Yeah, so that was January of this year. The last two weeks of January in the United States, we just pretty much did the Southeast. And I filled in on bass. They needed a bass player and found out they needed a bass player for this tour. It was too soon to get another European player, like for visas and that kind of thing. So they needed an American guy. And I met him on the Kiss Cruise when we played with Ace. They played that year. And I've been a fan of Nikkei, the drummer. I've been a fan of his for like 20 years from the Helicopters and Imperial State Electric and all his bands. So I heard he was on the boat and I was like, I'm going to fanboy that poor fucking guy so bad. And so I found out when they were playing, I went and watched their first show and fell in love with the band. It was just like, I loved everything. The name fit the look, fit the sound, everything. I liked everything about it. So being in Ace's band, I got my way back into the dressing room. And Nikkei is a huge Kiss fan. I mean, he's a monster Kiss fan. And so met him, and we have a mutual friend, a mutual connection from 20 years ago that I told him and couldn't believe that. So we sat and hung out and we became kind of friends, me, Nikkei, and his wife, Johanna, who sings Lucifer. We sat there for like an hour smoking cigarettes and drinking a bottle of wine and telling stories and things. And then, so that's how they knew me. Was from the Kiss Cruise, so it all kind of, again, it all kind of goes back to Kiss. But that was nice. A great tour. I played bass on that. I loved the band before I played with them, so it was like playing with my favorite band again. So it's like I like a band and I get to play with them. So
and they had a great look. Now, Phil, was it the Helicopters or one of the guys that inspired some of those cool fringe clothes that you have?
It was the bass player in Lucifer that they had on the Kiss Cruise that was the guy that left.
So, oh, okay.
I told him on the cruise, I said, I'm having a shirt like that made, just so you know, I'm stealing it.
That is so cool. I love it.
Alex is his name, a really great guy and was cool with me coming in and doing the thing. And I've seen him in Sweden since all that. And he's a super nice guy. But yeah, it was him. It was that night I was like, that is the best shirt I've ever seen in my life.
And I went cool. Made one.
So yeah, I have.
I love it.
Like Johnny Bravo, I fit the shirt. Whatever.
Hey Phil, we have a believe it or not. I didn't think I could see my Facebook comments and questions, but my friend Sherry has asked if you have Doberman shirts.
working on Doberman shirts. I got a great design for Doberman shirts. You're going to love it when it comes out. So my buddy Sandy Gennaro has Dobermans too, and he's been bugging me about it for years. So
I love Sandy. Well, you know what? One of the first times I ever played on stage in my New York life was at a place called True Blue. It was on the Upper East Side, and there was a house band that Sandy, I believe, was the leader of.
Oh, no.
And I played Honky Tonk Woman with, I was playing drums at that time. Sandy played cowbell and Mark Slaughter was on vocals. And I'm not, there were a lot of different, like great guitar players. Like, I'm not sure who was on that song, but Steve Conte from the New York Dolls and Michael Monroe and Company of Wolves played there. And we used to have a great, great time in 1991 on the Upper East Side. Company of Wolves, and that's where I met Sandy.
That's crazy. That's funny. I talked to Mark today too.
Oh, cool. Yeah, he's Mark down. Is he down there in Nashville?
Mark lives in the area. Mark was here years, way before I was. Mark was one of the first guys to move over here. So yeah. Sandy's great, man. I love Sandy.
Yeah, he's such a cool dude.
He is wonderful. He and his wife, and his Sherry and Jerry and Sandy, they're great.
Excellent. Cool.
And Philip, as far as your work with Ace goes, obviously things are on hold right now. Have you guys done writing with Ace? Have you spoken about new music
with him? No writing, but I guess I can say this. We're on one of the new tracks on Origins 2.
Oh, wow, cool.
So we are. We did go cut... we did go cut a tune. Me, Ryan, and Jeremy, and our buddy Paul Simmons on drums, Nashville drummer, did tune. We did. It's a kid. It's a classic Kiss tune. That's all I want to say.
Surprise, guys!
Yeah, came out great. Ace loves it. So yeah, can't wait for it to come out. Everybody to hear it. We were really excited to be able to do that. So yeah.
Cool. John, when's Origins 2 coming out?
Well, Origins 2 is going to be coming out this year, it's coming out via E1 Music, a great, great record label. And just stay tuned to acefriendly.com and to all things Ace and E1, and we will let you know when the actual release date is going to be. Right now, a lot of stuff, just movies, albums, everything is on a little bit of a hiatus right now while this COVID thing is going on. But
no stores to sell actual product,
right?
You know,
right?
So it's kind of tough.
So, Philip, being in the business, do you have any guesses as to when tours will resume? I mean, it sounds like people are thinking maybe this fall, but do you have any personal thoughts about it?
I don't know. I just don't know because, I mean, as of now, if I go out in public, there's a certain number of people that can be in the building, and we got to be 6 feet apart. And this is where we're almost in May at this point.
Right.
So I'm wondering, it's like in the fall, is it totally going to be cool to open up a field and be shoulder to shoulder with 40,000 people? It's like, I don't know.
For example, there's no way, like, let's say you're booked into a concert venue with assigned seats. They're not going to say, okay, now you got to sit in this seat and your new seat is six seats away from that seat. Like, they can't. It's impossible to do that. Like,
it's like a movie theater, like where you know, space out. It can't be like that. So, yeah, I don't know what's going to happen. We're going to have to learn to live and work with this thing still around. How to do that? I don't know. I have no idea. So it's just, it's weird. Everything changes by the hour, I don't know. I personally,
I am hoping that for sure by September, we're back to going to concerts and having meet and greets.
Yeah.
Standing shoulder to shoulder with people.
I'm willing to risk it personally. Yeah. Yeah. I like to be optimistic about it. I do think we hear everything from, the extreme, all the extreme cases to everything in between on the television. And I think, Like you said, Philip, we just don't know at this point.
Yeah.
I do think that I hear people say that, oh, this is going to change the way we live forever. Yes and no. I think eventually, whether it's, you know, at the end of the summer, or whether it's 2 years from now, we do get some sort of vaccine. And I think that's going to change things dramatically. And, yeah. And, you know, I do truly believe that we will eventually get our concerts back, but it's definitely yeah. sad for me this summer. I'm just seeing my shows drop off like flies on my Ticketmaster app, you know?
Yeah. We had summer festivals all booked, and one by one, they're
right.
falling off. And, mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I do think that this M3 festival, if September happens, wow, what a great way to come out and celebrate with Philip and Accept at the M3 festival. A great, great rock festival that I go to every year. And so we're fingers crossed. We want to see Accept and you, Philip, at M3.
People will be losing their minds if, like, the first, like, show back or something, you know, first festival back, it's good. We're gonna go.
Yeah, that would be fun. That would be great.
I want to play that one, whatever it is. It's gonna be the best crowd ever.
Yeah. Well, I know Faster Pussycat and Enough's Enough announced their September tour together called Straight Out of Quarantine, which I thought was a bold title, but yeah. So yeah, anyways, fingers crossed, guys. I
mean,
we really
totally
we know that, listen, rock and roll, you can't kill rock and roll. Not, I know that's pretty cliche, but it's gonna live on. And the videos that you're doing, Philip, I love them. The Van Halen, where you had you were dialing in the Van Halen sound and showing how that was awesome. That was awesome.
I feel like I'm in high school again in my bedroom, just playing Van Halen like for hours a day.
But you said you had a breakthrough. You discovered something in the settings on the Van Halen sound?
So, yeah, I'd never really quite gotten his tone changed a little bit every record. And in Van Halen 1, the delay is so loud and so prominent, and you can it's so audible, and it's not like a subtle thing. It's there. Like in the course, I Ain't Talking About Love. It's super loud. I never quite got it, and I use a Kemper now, and I've got these great Van Halen profiles, right? And I kind of was couldn't get the delay right, move the delay around, and I tell how I do this on Facebook.
Oh, cool. Gardner, everybody, right? Check that out.
But yeah, it's I'm having time to do things like that, sitting up late at night, like headphones on with this thing going, what if I was I put it here? And I'm like,
right,
you know, Eureka, I got it. So
yeah, let me ask you a question about these Kempers. Is Kemper a physical head? Or is it like a rack-mounted item?
You can get rack-mounted. I'll show you. Mine's right here, so I'm just going to show
cool,
you.
Oh, cool.
You can get a rack mount or this one. This is what this is called the toaster, because it looks like a toaster.
Let's see. Oh, okay.
Right.
Nice.
There.
Nice.
You can get a rack mount, and they also have now a floor unit that is all of it's on the floor. It's called the stage.
Wow.
But yeah, the thing's amazing.
Thank you for doing that. I'm sorry I made you take apart your rack there.
Oh, no, it's okay, man. It's sitting on my kitchen bar, so it's no big deal. But no, man, it's just great because you can play quiet and it sounds like your amp is on stun.
Wow, that's amazing.
And it's a lot of fun to mess with, and it sounds great. And I use them live. A lot of folks are like, you know, don't go to the dark side. It's like, well, I'm on the dark side, and it's fucking great and convenient.
Yeah, it sounds
when you say don't go to, you mean because people like it's not an actual amp, is people have problems with it.
It is, but you know, people are like, oh, this sounds better. I'm like, if I were to A/B yours with my profile of that, I'm like, you can't tell the difference.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I agree. You know what's so funny, Phil? When my band has opened up for you guys with Ace, and I am using, and I have all this equipment, but instead of using all this expensive heads and stuff, I'm using this like $150 used Vox for like, you know, it's sort of like a profiling head, and it gets my sound, and I don't need a bunch of stuff.
You always had a great tone every night.
Thank you. See, yeah, and it's just like, so technically I've went over to the dark side too, because I'm not using like the actual amp. I'm just using like a dialed in sound, you know, and it's fine.
All of the guys that are still playing like us, we're all getting older.
Right.
And we don't want to carry two 412s and a, you know, 120-pound head with huge transformers into a club exactly. anymore. Stack it on top of two heads, and right. you can have it right there. You know, everything right. right there, and it's in it. It's super easy to carry and fits in a suitcase in the overhead, you know, yep. so...
Hey, do you have those cases that Ryan, and we're talking about Ryan Cook, guys, turned me on to these great flight cases. Is that what you're using too? I forget even the name of it.
SKB.
Okay, right.
They are fantastic. Yeah, they're great. They have a line. They're injection molded, waterproof. Man, I swear, that's what they're bazooka cannon proof too, man. Those things are excellent.
Yeah, and they got wheels on them, and you can carry them in airports, and you can put your necessary items, like the Kemper, in there. There's a compartment for it, and you're all set.
A strap, I have strings, a couple pedals, all that stuff in there, because my number one thing that I hate most in the world is carrying an instrument through an airport.
Right, right.
Onto a plane. I despise it.
Yeah.
So I was like, you know what? No more of this. And so got that, check it. And it's done, and it arrives safely at my destination.
Yeah, and one of the things, when I would try to carry a guitar on the plane, there's always a moment where you're not sure if they're going to let you bring it physically onto the plane.
Yeah.
And they want to put it under the plane. And you can bypass all that by buying one of these SKB flight cases, and then you just check it, and it's like, remember that TV commercial, set it and forget it? Check it and forget it.
Exactly. Yeah, because European airlines are the worst.
Oh, right. Wow, right. I've never
Asian airlines. They try to charge you for a seat for the thing.
Wow.
And they're just awful. And it's just getting worse and worse and worse and worse. And so, yeah, I was like, enough of that. So I have four of them. I have one for a Strat shape, one for Les Paul shape, one for P-bass shape, one for J-bass shape.
So nice. Oh, that's awesome. That is really cool. Yeah, I love it. Do you have a J-bass? Look.
It's great, man. So Vintage, I got to mention Vintage. I went live today with my Vintage guitar collection, actually. Not Vintage isn't old. Vintage is the name of the brand that makes my guitar.
Yeah, Vintage, right.
And Jeremy and Ryan play them too. They're great guitars. And they made me a bass, and it's a J body, and it's Lake Placid Blue, and it's beat to hell. And wow. Got the J bass pickup and P bass pickup.
So now, did Vintage pre-age it like that for you, or did it get beat from on the road?
It arrived like that in my hand. And
those guitars are so nice, Phil. For all you viewers and listeners, Phil is talking about a brand called Vintage. And the guys in Ace's band use them, and they are really, really nice.
Yep, the guys in the choir boys use them. They're getting like bigger, and they don't cost even an arm. I mean, they're so reasonable, and they're every bit as good as anything else. I mean, my Gibsons stay home, and I prefer to play this one over the sitting in the corner. This gold top I have over in the corner is fantastic.
They're so cool.
They're kind of their most expensive one retail, I think it's around between $600 to $700.
That's amazing.
That's the most expensive one. So you can get one for like four or five, and you're going to be totally happy with it. You're going to love it.
Definitely. Sure. Everybody should check out their website. Phil, do you offhand know the website, the web address for them?
We'll figure it out. We'll post it.
It's probably like that. Vintage something. It's hard because of the name Vintage. Not to be confused with an actual vintage guitar.
Yeah, it's like if you Google search vintage guitars, you're going to pull up.
You're going to look for the vintage brand of guitars on Google, and you'll find it eventually.
But they're great. Good company, good people, too. So
really nice. Where are they based out of? Is it Texas?
The American headquarters is in Dallas. Yeah, Dallas, Fort Worth.
Nice.
Cool. Well, guys, we're going to start to kind of wind it down here. But, Philip, it's been great talking to you. I did want to mention... a little bit of news. You said you're a Black Sabbath fan. It's unbelievable that 40 years today, the day we're recording this and shooting this, Heaven and Hell, 40 years old, the first album with Ronnie James Dio by Black Sabbath, just an amazing album. Of course, Bill Ward played on the album, then left, I think, after a handful of shows into the tour. But let's talk about that record, maybe to take us out. when you say you're a Black Sabbath fan, is it all eras of the band, or is it just the Ozzy era and the Dio? Like, what?
No, I love the Dio era as well. When it got to be the quick singer changes, I kind of lost it there. But no, man, I like all the Dio records. In particular, Heaven and Hell. I got to see Heaven and Hell on tour. I think when did they tour the States? 07?
It sounds right.
Mark and I went to Radio City and saw them. Yeah. I got 2007 I got sounds right. What's that?
You got the DVD for that?
I got the DVD from that show.
If you look at the bonus footage, John and I we're interviewed or something in the
bonus footage talking about different things. It's pretty cool.
Awesome. Yeah, I saw Cincinnati. So, man, what? Good God, that was an awesome show. Yeah. That record is awesome. We would play a lot of those tunes at the residency shows. We would do Neon Nights all the time with our buddy Greg Mangus, who can just nail all the vocals sky high. We did Heaven and Hell. Children of the Sea we did before. You know what, I think one show we did the first side.
Really?
Wow, that's great.
Awesome. It's one of my favorites. I'm gonna play it when we get off of this, actually.
Hey Phil, if you see Greg sometime, you know, after this is over, tell him I said hello, or I'll just send him a message. But I met him at a podcasting convention. Mark, remember when we went down to that podcast convention?
The Rock and Pod.
Rock and Pod, sure.
Yeah. And I met Greg
In Tennessee, right? In Nashville, Tennessee.
Nashville. Yeah. Right. Chris and Aaron from Decibel Geek. Mm-hmm. Put it on.
Yeah.
And, yeah, great guys. Yep.
Oh, yeah. Greg's a great guy, man. He was one of our favorite singers at residency. We do all Deep Purple and Dio, all the high stuff, you know, he can do.
That's cool.
Yeah, good stuff.
All right, well, Philip, it's been great talking with
you.
What about, do you have like a website for just you? Is it the Facebook page? Where do people go to get in touch with you online?
I'm building philipschaus.com. It's going to be connected to muttmerch.com. But until then, I'm on Facebook, two pages on there, and Instagram too. So you can find me on all the socials.
Awesome. And John, what about you? Where can everyone hook up with you online?
Best place is Facebook, either John Astronomy, John Astronomy 2, or John Astronomy 3.
Right on. And I'm on Facebook.
I got a shout out for John's t-shirt, my Swedish
friends,
Thunder Mother over there.
Thunder Mother. This is a great band. Females, all girls, they're great.
Oh, I don't know them. I got to check that out.
Yeah, and I got to jam with them at the Cruise Fest. Phil, you were down there. This past year. Yeah.
You played with us.
Yeah, I played with you guys, and then I did a song in like a different room with Thunder Mother.
We did. Now,
I had a great time playing with you guys.
We did Come On and Love Me, didn't we?
Yes, very good memory. Great memory. And I had a blast playing with you guys, Phil. I hope to do it again this Cruise Fest.
Man, if we're booked to play it, so if it happens, let's cross our fingers. We're booked to do it again.
What is that? Well, I don't even know what you guys are talking about. Cruise Fest?
Okay. So, Phil, why don't you explain what Cruise Fest is?
Okay, so Cruise Fest is connected to the Kiss Cruise. It's a two-day show in the same port that the cruise is from. Last year, Ace played, Sebastian Bach. We did a set without Ace. Ace band did a set.
Oh, I saw that Sebastian Bach thing. I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
So So that's the Cruise Fest. And so this year we're about to play it again with Ace.
Okay. And there's jams happening. So like, for example, the one night of the Cruise Fest, Sebastian Bach headlined, and the next night Ace headlined. And then in that main hall, there are different bands playing. And then in other rooms within the hotel complex, there are other stages and people playing. So last year there was a ton of great musicians down there. There's even people playing outside. And I think John Corabi did a outdoor gig during the day by the pool. And like, there's a lot of cool stuff.
And you've played with Corabi, right, Philip?
Yeah. But I played with John too. Yep.
Very cool. All right, guys. Well, it's been great hanging with you guys, and thanks to all the viewers who tuned in live tonight.
And don't hang up yet. I got to go to the door, but I want to come back. Don't hang up. Everybody stay on.
Okay.
John's got a food delivery going on there. But
I guess he does. He's getting Chinese takeout.
And have you been to John's apartment? You got to check out all his guitars.
I'm in awe of his lighting rig. I mean, this is incredible.
Yeah, it's the ultimate like man cave. He's got another room right behind that wall there. There's another room where there's like full arcade games, you know, like the old school Asteroids and Pac-Man and stuff.
That is my dream. That's what I want for my place. Yeah. That's awesome.
Hey, the reason I wanted to say a proper goodbye. Thank you again, Phil. And guess what I'm going to try to do? Something I made a mistake on at the top of the show. I'm going to end with the Talking Metal slate, and I'm going to play the Talking Metal theme. I think I figured out how to do it. And you guys have to guess, the listeners and viewers, the lead vocalist on this song. And Mark, can we give him a hint and tell people who this is? Most people probably know.
I'm trying to think of a hint.
Wait a second. Hold on here.
Yeah, any hint I give is gonna give it away.
Yeah, it's kind of a hard one.
Do you know Philip?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I told Phil.
Oh, okay.
Okay, guys. So anyway, Phil, thank you again for doing this. We really, really appreciate it. We had a blast. We hope you'll come back on again.
Anytime.
You're our first guest on Talking Metal Live on Facebook.
Yeah, and by the way, guys, stay tuned because it sounds like the very next guest, we'll probably do another one of these next week, is going to be a real metal legend, David Ellefson of Megadeth fame and many other. What was that one band he had? F5, remember
that?
Yeah. I mean, he's so much great stuff, so I can't wait to talk with him. Hopefully, maybe 1 week from tonight. We'll see, and we'll let you guys know. But, Philip, thank you for being our guinea pig here tonight in our kind of premiere episode. And it's, what a great way to start things off. So many great stories. Thank you.
There was no prodding, no painful, so it was pretty good. Just, I don't mind it at all.
Cool. Thank you.
Painless experiment.
All right. Should we play this Talking Metal theme song?
I'm going to put the video. Well, actually, how about if I do this? Let's all stay on and we can react to the theme song. Let me see if that doesn't work, I'm going to have to put the slate up. So let's try it once. Let's see. I'm going to try this. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
Mark, is that coming out just through my mic?
No.
Okay, well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put up the slate, try it that way. We'll see if it works. If it doesn't, we'll see everybody next time, okay? All right, thanks, Phil. Thanks, everybody. Thanks, Mark. Take care, guys.
Thanks, guys. Thank you.
Bye. See you.